All right, I have printed out our lesson three, finally. We're going to be revisiting all through these studies on reconciliation. I wanted to cover the parts that we did because we need to get that, at least to understand people where we see the end at. And that is that every man's going to end up back into God from whence he came. But that will be the central foundation of everything else we believe in, because that's that foundation upon which all other things that God has done in his plan rests upon. And that's why that foundation will not crack, will not be moved. We will have we have no reason to be apprehensive concerning God's ability to do what he says he can do. Now, that's not me saying that I can do that, or that you can do that. We're talking about God Almighty. So that's why we have such faith in our God. And most people live out of a fear of the unknown, wondering about what is going to happen tomorrow. Some people get very fearful over the apocalypse that's being preached in the church. And they think the world's going to end any minute. And knowing this that we're teaching, we understand nothing's going to end until God ends it. And that men can't say, well, the world's getting so dark it's going to end any minute. It doesn't matter how dark the world gets. God has a timetable, and we're in our right time and our right place right here. Praise God. The Lord's brought us forth at this particular time. So we can trust in that. I don't have to worry about my granddaughter Jordan and my other kids growing up in a world that perhaps God can't keep them from. I understand that God has all of this under control because I know where it came from, out of him, and I know that his plan is to bring it back into himself. Praise God. Now, we're going to talk a little bit. How many got the writing that, did you get this writing, the Cup of God's Wrath? Now, I'm going to be giving you stuff, articles that I think is going to really be good for you to read. This is a great article. John R. Gavazzoni is a good friend of mine. He is one of the premier theologians concerning the message of reconciliation. So he gets pretty intelligent on us, and he uses some big words, but he's really down to earth also. And one of these days he's going to be coming here, hopefully, to minister to us. But this is a really great article on what some people might say, well, how can you say all men are going to be saved if the scripture talks about God's anger, God's wrath, God's judgment? And this deals with the word wrath. And I think you'll get a lot out of this if you would read it this week. The word wrath, the primary Greek word, as it says, is from the word orge, from which we get our English word orgy. And the word itself and its root conveys passion, excitement, a reaching after, and it overlaps in meaning with the Greek word thumos, translated also as wrath. Ed Brown, who is another theologian, translates orge as God's intrinsic fervor. Understand, it's another level of love. And there's been some great plays written, movies made, books written about levels of love. There's a love where I love my truck, and then there is a love that consumes me with that love. And I get very fervent in that love. And I don't let anything hold me back from experiencing that love. And if anything comes between me and that object of which I love, my love is going to turn into action of determination to remove anything between me and that which I love. How many understands that? That's still love, but that's what the English word wrath is really talking about. God's fiery, fervent, determined love for mankind. And the action isn't against mankind itself. It's against that which has come between God and that object of which he loves. So this is a great article for us to read, and I hope you take the time to do it, and I'll be including some more articles as we go along. I hope you don't mind me. I'm going to be feeding you stuff. What you do with it is up to you. But if you're like me, this is the most serious thing I can be about, is about what God is saying to us and what God wants to do with us. So I get very serious about it, and I treat it like a college, like a school. I study it, I look at it, I pray over it. I ask God to help me with it so that God can continue to really and truthfully invest in us the truth of this day. Praise God. Good to have everyone. Just come on in and get seated. We're going to be teaching our third lesson today. It's called the Book of Books. We're going to actually talk a little bit about the Bible itself. I told you before, the Bible is not, in my viewpoint, what we would literally term, and to be precise about it, it is not the Word of God. The Word is a person, Jesus Christ. The Bible is that which the Holy Ghost has inspired men of old to write concerning the Word, who is Jesus Christ, and testifies of Jesus Christ. But it is our manual. It is that which we have. And I'm going to say this again. Chart and I have been saying this the whole time that we've ever been having a group to minister to. We must know God's heart. Amen. Amen. Not just the Bible. We must not get scripturally bound by our carnal understanding of what the scriptures say. We must have that intimate personal relationship with God, develop that, build it, cause it to grow in us, just like you would any person that you casually meet, and then you get to know them more and more as the days go by, and pretty soon you start finding out more about them, and if they're a great person, the more you know about them, the more there is to love about them, and that it is, that's the way it is with God. We are building our relationship with Him, and otherwise, if we read the Bible, just the book, we're going to transfer God into our image out of those pages. Just as I told you, the cup of God's wrath. We're going to use the word wrath, the English translation of the Greek word wrath that we read in the King James Version, and we're going to think God's like me. He gets really, 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 really mad at people for no reason and just does terrible things to them because he's so wrathful. And but if you know the heart of God, if you've ever touched the heart of God, if God's ever touched you, if you come into that personal relationship with Him, you would understand that that's a false persona, a persona of God, that someone has told a lie about Him, because the God that I know in my heart does not line up with the God that the majority of Christianity preaches as a vengeful, hateful, angry, schizophrenic, love you today, might not love you tomorrow. God doesn't match up with the God I know in my heart. But the Bible, when you have that relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, the scriptures start opening up and making more sense for you. You start seeing that big picture in a greater way. So let's ask the Lord's help this morning. Praise God. Father, we need your help today, Lord. We always need you in our life. We can't do this in our own self, Lord. We can't live by our own faith. We must now live by your faith, by your life, by your love. I pray, oh God, that as we teach, that, Lord, you would anoint your speaker with the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, the words would become life unto those who have got the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto this church today. I ask you, Lord, to cause this words, to cause this people to rise up and go forth in the name of the Lord, to be strong and mighty in the land. I ask you, Father, that we will not be followers of man, but that we will be hearers of the word, and that, Lord, we know that we're pioneers and we're blazing a new trail. We know that we've had to leave familiar landmarks of religious systems. And I ask you, Father, to speak peace unto all of our hearts and let us know that you are our guiding light. You are the Word, the true Word, that is like a lamp that lights our way. Hallelujah. We put our whole existence into your hands in full confidence, knowing that you will not go to sleep on us, You will not turn your back on us. You will watch over us day by day. And that our lives are going to start lining up with the will of God in our life. And we thank you for it. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Well, it is the book of books. As I told you in the first lesson that we had, I gave you a sheet that said amazing Bible facts. And it is an amazing book. It is inspired. It has been put together in a way that God has watched over on it. But it is a book. So we have to understand the book and how to read it. The more we understand how the book was actually put together, the more we'll understand why it must be spiritually interpreted. Why we cannot have a literal historical interpretation upon both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So in your lessons, the book of books, Genesis to Revelation, 1,100 years of inspired writing. Now only God could do that, cause people over a span of 1,100 years to be able to write in so many different places, inspired writing that was able to be handed down from generation to generation, and to end up in our hands today in the various versions that we have. Now, these versions are not infallible writings. I said these versions are not infallible writings. That's all right. I know people who say, I'm a word person. I'm a word person, man. I believe the word. I believe every jot, tittle, period, quotation mark, comma. I'm a word person. I use the same Bible Paul used. And I've literally heard people say that. And first of all, we have to understand, and that this is 39 books. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament deals with the external working of God with man. The Old Testament's all about external. My spirit shall fall upon all flesh. God moves externally. He dwelt in a tabernacle. People had to go to the tabernacle. The Shekinah presence of God stood in the door of the tabernacle. The priest went into the Holy of Holies to have communion with God face to face. Everything in the Old Testament was through prophecy, external prophecy being spoken, through a use of a priesthood that was an external a mediator between man and God. The law was given as an external expression of God's rules and regulations for a people who could not have a personal and intimate relationship with God because of the corruption of their Adamic nature. God could not have relationship with that. So he had to put objects in front of him and minister to the people externally. So everything in the Old Testament is external. New Testament, New Covenant, is an internal revealing. And that's the big difference between us who are so blessed to live in this day than it was those that lived in the days before Christ. Now, we are not going to a physical tabernacle somewhere. I pray to God that you're not coming here to meet God. I pray that you understand that God doesn't live here behind these walls and has a bedroom back here. God is in you. Hallelujah. And we bring him with us and we take him everywhere we go. Hallelujah. And isn't that just marvelous that we do not have to go to a place to see God? He is with us all the time. Hallelujah. But that's what the New Testament is. Christ has come and he brought God into flesh. And God has dwelt with man ever since in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is enough to cause us to sing the praises of God for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. To think that you and I do not have to go to any place or through any man or woman to get to God. He is with us. Hallelujah. So that's the beauty of the New Testament. Now that's the reason why I preach mostly out of the New Testament. But I know the Old Testament over all the years that I've been studying it. I want you to know the Old Testament. I want you to understand how all this is connected. That's the reason why we're teaching this. But over the years, I minister more relevantly out of the New Testament because it is revealing Christ. It is that which reveals an internal outworking of the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, it was hands being laid upon the priesthood. It was anointing being poured over the head with a bottle of oil. It was all external, and the only thing that got touched was the flesh. But in the New Testament, it's talking about the revealing of Jesus Christ in his house that he dwells in, and revealing you in Christ. Hallelujah. So that's the big difference there, and we need to understand that as we go into these lessons. Now, I have made the notation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and I've made a point of letting you know the difference between what's called the Hebrew Old Testament and how the books were put together or seen as together, Old Testament. And that's what most of us are familiar with, is the Septuagint, Old Testament. But the original Hebrew Old Testament was viewed as 39 books written over approximately 1,000 years. And it was written mostly in the Hebrew language, except for a few passages written in Aramaic. It contains three main sections that they had it sectioned out in the Hebrew Old Testament. It was the Law, or also known as the Pentateuch, or the Torah. And these are five books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are the five books of Moses. That is believed that Moses wrote these books. And obviously he had to write them by the revelation of the Spirit of God, because it was Moses that wrote the book of Genesis. And Genesis deals with the creation. So what we read in Genesis is what God revealed to Moses. And that was not written back in Adam's day. That was written 1,000 years before Christ. So by revelation, God gave Moses these three books that are called the Law or the Torah. Now the Torah, if I understand right, and I do have someone that has been raised Jewish, Brother Sid over here, and I want him to correct me if I say anything wrong here. But as I understand, there is a subtle difference between the Law and the Torah, because the Torah was meant to include, at first of all, the five books, and then they started adding to the Law. The five books were a part of that, but the Torah also included the rest of the writings added into it, because the Torah wasn't exclusively the Law. The Torah was what the Law represented, and that was a way of life. And that was God's original intent for the Law, was the fact that people would start to use it as a way of life, that it would become a part of their life. Of course, men used it for lawful, just like today, you see Christians who are just doing the religious thing. And you see others that are really and truthfully on fire for God, and they're doing it out of love of God, and others just do it lawfully. And the same thing under the Law. There were those that really kept the Law, that was really sincere in it, that really went to all the details of it, and there was others that just went through the motions. But the Torah meant all of this was a way of life for us as Israel, as a people of Israel. And so that distinction, I've quoted from the Nelson's Bible Dictionary to relate to that. It says guidance or direction. The word Torah actually means guidance or direction from God to his people. Did you know that's what the priesthood was about? The priesthood was that which drew men to God. It wasn't these ministers that you see today draw men to me and to my ministry and to my personality and to my way of doing things. Pretty soon it's Tarangio Ministries International. And I thank God that God has never allowed Sarah and I to go into Tarangio Ministries International Unlimited. because that puts way too much emphasis And I'm talking about for myself. I know that there's ministries that do that, but for me, for where we're headed in God, that puts too much emphasis on the person, although you can't discount the person. You have to understand that God has indeed anointed men and women to be leaders and to be figures, father figures, over Israel, over spiritual Israel. And you have to understand that there are those that you're going to follow and they're going to be your mentors. Hopefully I'm one of those for this assembly. And we have several others in this assembly that we can have that trust in. But it is following that figure of a man, knowing that there is your God in them. Hallelujah. And that the same amount of God that's in them is in you also. Hallelujah. So they're building you up. So that, and we've said that before, this is not an eternal daycare center for spirituality. We are not concerned, we are not going to keep you in diapers. We're expecting you to get out of diapers pretty quick now. Hallelujah. And we have not brought a people together, and God has not brought a people together here in this place to keep you spiritually infantile. We are here to mature you. We are here to cause you to raise up in a new knowledge. Yes, Brother Walter. Speak into the mic, brother.
There are not only fathers in Israel, but there are mothers in Israel.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's both gender. And that is our parental guidance in the Lord. We need that. I've had my parents in God. And they have watched over me, and I've been able to trust them. But you know what? We expect you to grow up. And we expect you, just like we expect our own children, to eventually be able to handle the things of God for yourself. To be able to rightly divide the truth. To be able to walk into any situation and trust God. Because God's in you. And because you've been taught that. You've been taught that you don't have to call us up every time something happens. Of course you do, maybe when you're in an infant stage. But as you grow in the Lord, then you become less and less reliant upon external influence. And you start learning the Lord. Now the trouble with all of this is, of course, and we have this happened in Shar and I've been ministering for over three decades on, going into 35 years now, I guess, of ministry. And so we've raised a lot of children in the Lord over those amount of times. Charlotte has had 80-year-old people call her mom because they see that spiritual authority in her and that teacher and mother of God. But always happens is that the more that people start to learn, the more they think they know more than anybody else. And pretty soon the teacher becomes the adversary and the pupil starts saying, I know more than the teacher. So, you know, they're old order, I'm new order. And we've got several groups in this town right now who have come to that conclusion concerning this church, hallelujah, who have sat under our ministries and have been raised up underneath our ministry, and now they're teenagers. And now they know everything and you don't know anything. They have it all figured out. They've gotten a couple of revelations, and now, by golly, they're the new order, and they don't need anybody else. They've got it all figured out, and if anybody's going to hear God, they need to come hear them. How many hears me? That's the teenage realm of growing up into Christ, and we're going to deal with that as it comes along. But I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. If you're going to get ahead of me and God, you better run really quick. and you better take it serious, because I'm dead serious about my walk in God, and I have studied every day concerning what I'm teaching you. So if you have a greater revelation than me, you better bring a whole load of it. And it better be good. Hallelujah. Otherwise, for now, listen and learn and take in and grow in balance. And be thankful for the maturity that God is imparting into us. Because it is the time to learn from them who have been given that amount of time on this planet to be able to know a few things that God's doing. Now, if we stop growing, then by all means, go beyond us. I cannot see that happening with Charlotte and I. We've gone too far now to stop. And we're going to keep growing in the Lord. And we're going to stay on the cutting edge. But if that would ever happen, then by all means, go on and leave your teachers behind. Because you've got to go on and know the Lord. And I have had to leave teachers. Hasn't anybody else? How many else here has ever had to leave a teacher that one time taught you in the Lord, and all of a sudden you sat there and realized they're not going anywhere. They're not growing. They've stopped at that revelation they're in. And God's speaking something more and more revealing unto me, and I'm sitting here and I'm hearing old manna. And it's not fresh anymore. It's stale. I've gone through that. And that's when you indeed have to move on in the Lord. But good luck in that happening here, praise God, because we are going to keep pressing in. If anything, you're going to have to take more Geritol to keep up with us old people. Hallelujah. Is this all right? Praise God. It says here that it means guidance or direction for God to his people. In earlier times, the term Torah, this is from Nelson's Bible Dictionary, referred directly to the five books of Moses or the Pentateuch. Moses told the people, command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. While the English word law does not suggest this, both the hearing and the doing of the law made the Torah. So that's the difference between the law, the Pentateuch of the law, and the Torah, in the sense that God gave it to the people of Israel, was the fact that this has got to be more than just quoting the law. You've got to do the law and be a doer of it, not just a hearer of it. So Torah started to include everything in the added books. They included that into the Torah. Now, I'm going to let you read that later on in your own time. So it contains three main sections. The first section is the law, the Pentateuch. And then it included the prophets, the book of the prophets. These were in two subdivisions, the former prophets and the latter prophets. And I have those listed for you. The more that you get familiar with your manual, with your textbook, You're going to become familiar with it. Start thumbing through it. Start looking through it. Start identifying the books we're talking about. If you buy a Bible right now and you're in your early stages of development, you don't know a whole lot about this book, I would suggest that you get one of those Bibles that have the tabs on the side, that have the books right there where you can just open it right up to the book instead of doing like me sometimes and saying, I know it's in here somewhere. Stuck right in there between Hosea and you'll have the tabs right there. You can just turn right to it. Amen? Don't use a fork until you learn to use a spoon. Hallelujah. So do some of these common things so you can start learning the book. You're going to find out the prophets. There's two subdivisions, former prophets, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Latter prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the book of the 12 prophets, and those are the books Hosea through Malachi. They're all lumped in the Hebrew Old Testament. And then the writings, it's called the writings. That's the Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah. They're counted in the Hebrew Old Testament as one book. Now, in these days and in the days of Paul and in the days all the way up through the centuries, this was not as it is now. Chapter, verse, separated out. It was scrolls. It was without chapter and without verse. It was like a regular book. You had to know where to look at on that whole scroll. In fact, it wasn't bound up like this. It was actually in scrolls that unfolded. And it was a long writing. In fact, the original writing having to do with the scriptures was, as I said, the first man to write anything scripturally was Moses. And that is the beginning of actually writing down something. The law was the beginning of writing something down to be copied for others to read. from the early times, from Adam all the way up to that point, the traditions and the words of God were passed on orally. The patriarchs were Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of these that God had visited Abraham with, a man that was living in another country in Babylon, spoke to Abraham and said, if you'll leave this country and go into another country that I'll lead you to, I'll bless you there. And I'll cause your seed to prosper. And I'll cause the earth to be filled with your seed. And that will be a seed of promise unto me. And Abraham heard the voice of a God that he had never heard before. Well, it was Jehovah. But he didn't have too much a doubt in that. In fact, he believed in that so much that he went and he did. He took everything he owned and all his family and packed up all of his mules and camels and went and crossed the Euphrates and became the first true Hebrew of God. The word Hebrew doesn't mean just Jew. The word Hebrew means them that cross over to the other side of something. And Abraham was the first to believe God, to cross over from who he was in his life into something that God said, I'm going to make you something else now. Hallelujah. And his physical seed became Israel. The spiritual seed became Israel. And you had the Israel of the earth and the Israel of the seed of promise, which was in Christ. Hallelujah. So you have Christ in it all. Hallelujah. God dealt with the seed of Israel. God dwelt with a certain people in the flesh, but all the time, parallel, heavenly, spiritually, God was making all provisions for that seed that was going to end up in Christ, who is the promised seed. Hallelujah. So that's the reason why Jew or Gentile, hallelujah, bond or free, male or female, oh, praise God, white or black or brown or whatever else pigment on your skin is, or the color of your hair, fat or thin or good looking or ugly, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. God, in Christ, we're all one in him. We're all the children of God. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Hallelujah. And that's the reason why the book is the book of books. It covers it all. And you can read into the Old Testament and learn all of the law of it and all the prophecies of it. And it's all concerning Jesus Christ. Then the New Testament begins to speak to us those things, not just what Jesus spoke in his lifetime. That's why Paul was raised up. Hallelujah. The majority of the New Testament was written by one man, Paul. Formerly known as Saul, formerly someone that persecuted the church, that put many to death, and yet God raised him up and made him write the majority of the books of the New Testament. And he expanded upon by revelation, not just what the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the Old Testament write about the life and the birth, the life, the ministry, and the death, and the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. Then you had the book of Acts. And the book of Acts are the Acts of the Apostles, God moving through them and turning the world upside down, hallelujah, by them following on after Jesus' ascension into the Father. Now he is in them, hallelujah. And now their word is not just the word of observers, they are participators of the plan of God, hallelujah. And they're not continuing in the traditions of the synagogue of the Old Testament tabernacle. They are now the tabernacle of God themselves. Hallelujah. Paul says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Hallelujah. And he was speaking in that day to those that were still going to the temple. Though Christian, they were still observing the rituals of an old order, old covenant ritual in the temple. And he let them, and his ministry was to let them know he is not just the King of the Jews. He is the Savior of all men. Hallelujah. He was not just for a sect of people, for a certain age of people. He was for people of all ages everywhere. Hallelujah. And just because we have seen him and touched him and heard his voice in our day, Paul was letting Peter and John and all the other apostles know he's not just yours. We should no longer understand him or have a relationship with him strictly after the flesh that you once touched and knew. But now we know him as Christ, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have been raised up together with him and sitting down together with him in heavenly places. Amen. 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 So that is is what the books are doing. The book of books ties it together. We don't throw the old covenant out. We study it, we look at it, we see the beauty of it, we see the, how God was faithful over that. Faithful, Clyde. 1,000 years he watched over that, raised prophets up, raised kings up. Some of them were bad kings. Some of them were kings that did evil. Some of them were kings that did righteousness. Israel was a people, a lineage, a people in the flesh that God chose to show an example through. He said, I'm going to put my hand upon this people and I'm going to be their God and they're going to be my people. And I'm going to deal with them as a type and a shadow of how I'm going to deal with all mankind in the ages to come. I'm going to let them know that they cannot be perfect without my grace. I'm going to put them under laws and regulations because you know what? Carnal men are going to break rules. And I'm gonna give them a priesthood that's gonna minister for them, and they're gonna intercede between them and myself. I'm gonna give them laws and regulations, and they're going to have to do sacrifices to cleanse themselves. Hallelujah, because I'm going to have fellowship with them, but I'm gonna have fellowship with them through a mediator, through objects. But they're going to have to cleanse themselves to come to me. That was typing and shadowing what was going to happen 1,000 years later when Jesus himself became to earth to be the perfect Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand how much trouble God has gone to show us Jesus? Hallelujah. To let us recognize what has been done for us 2,000 years ago. Every year they had to go through the sacrifices and through the spilling of blood of bulls and goats and offering up all kinds of animal sacrifices to have a relationship with their creator. And yet now Jesus himself was the embodiment of all of that. Hallelujah. He wasn't just a man walking through the earth. He was the embodiment of it. Can you see yourself as that? Can you see that Christ has unified himself with you so that you are now the fulfillment of everything that Jesus taught 2,000 years ago was going to happen in the earth? Hallelujah. It is happening today. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand this morning. It is happening in you and in me. Hallelujah. Can I go so far as to say your birth was just as important? Your coming to this world was just as important. Jesus himself said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You've come here with a holy ordination, with a holy calling, with a holy and divine purpose upon us. Hallelujah. And that is to take this out of types and shadows and let the Word walk through and in the flesh. Hallelujah. So that men see God in the flesh. Hallelujah. So that it's no longer a book written on paper, of words written on paper, but it is the Word written upon the tables of our heart. Amen. Which is what the new covenant is. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to praise him this morning. He karaba sandoraba shandaraba karandarabana. Orandarabo sandarama koriandarabo sukuriandarabasihi. Lord, let your word of prophecy be in the midst of this people. Hallelujah. Lord, let a creative word be in our midst that's going to create in us a new life and a new understanding, Father. Hallelujah. My God, let your spirit witness to what this word reveals to us. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. So you see, we're studying a book, but we're studying the book to reveal the book. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a book. You're a book.
Amen.
Written by the finger of God. Hallelujah. And you're to be read. You're to be read. You're to be taken off the shelf of the library and put on open display before creation and read just like you would a book. Hallelujah. What would your book say right now? Very much? No. Would they be able to read very much? No. But that's what God is doing. He's revealing the books. What's been written in the books is that which every man out here is waiting to hear and to understand. Hallelujah. God is love. Hallelujah. God is able. God is all-saving.
God is all restoring. God is the reconciler. God is the creator, and He is that which finishes it. He is the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He has begun something, and He will bring it to completion. Hallelujah. That is what the book says. Hallelujah. That this is done in all times past, but now we're here with the Word. Hallelujah. Which isn't a writing of a book. It is a person. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, stand to your feet and give Him applause. I'm talking about Jesus. John the Revelator said, "Behold, and I saw the books of life were opened up. Men were judged by those things that was written in those books." My God. Hallelujah. We're going to judge principalities, powers, thrones, dominions. There's something written in us that's going to eradicate cancer, heart disease, tumors,
Amen.
Every physical malady known to men. It is going to cause those who have Alzheimer's and mental situations to be healed. Hallelujah. By that which has been written in our book. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why the books need to be opened up. That's why everything we read in here, we have to see it in a mirror in us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. My tabernacle had a veil of flesh over it. My mind was veiled from the understanding of God at one time in my life. Hallelujah. But just as this book records 2,000 years ago, a man on a cross gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished." When He did, something physical happened. The veil in the literal temple in the square of Jerusalem was ripped from top to bottom. Hallelujah. Men had to sew it back up because God Himself had ripped it. Hallelujah. And I tell you, today I stand before you as the tabernacle of God whose veil has been rent from top to bottom.
Amen.
And I'm no longer just preaching out of a book now. I'm preaching out of a book.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want you to start to hear God speaking and reading out of His book.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As we receive confirmation that it is the book. And men of old witness to it. Hallelujah. This is passed on orally, Brother Walter. Hallelujah.
Now, you said that we are going to judge only those that are found worthy to be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb are going to rule and reign with Christ. The rest of them are not going to.
Amen. Who are those? Can any of us say? No. You can't say, "I'm going to be there," or I can't say, "You're going to be there," or "Who's not going to be there?" We have to know that God's forming, by His divine purpose, a people.
Right. But the Apostle Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press
yes.
toward the mark for the prize of the high calling."
Amen.
Of God in Christ Jesus, the high calling is to be invited to the
marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And that's by appointment.
We need to be careful of our words,
what
we say.
Well, what I'm preaching to you right now, Brother Walter, if I have sanctified this place before the Lord,
Amen.
If anybody comes through those doors, they're set by God.
Amen.
Understand? I've sanctified that door. There's people that cannot walk through that door by the Spirit of God because we are preaching a word
Amen.
That is not a religious system word. It is a word directly from the throne of God.
Amen.
And if anybody walks through that door, whether they look like like it today or not, whether they look like they're receiving it or not, I'm not to judge that. I'm to minister this word, and those that have ears to hear by the Spirit will hear it. Those that don't have ears to hear it by the Spirit are going to leave and not come back. Hallelujah. Because Jesus himself said many things before all kinds of people, thousands of people, that only a handful of people heard. Amen? So we can't just start. The time has come, Brother Walter, I'm trying to say this, that we, in times past, we've had to watch our word. We've had to understand that we're in mixture, we have a lot of different people coming around, and we have to preach something. And I've heard this said so much concerning this word, it's almost made me tired of hearing it, because people have said, now don't preach too deep now, because nobody will understand it. Well, none of you will understand it unless the Spirit of God gives you understanding. Hallelujah. So I don't need to watch my word, and you don't need to watch your word in the midst of this. In our own house, in our own assembly, in our own family, in our own body, hallelujah, we are going to mention the name of the Lord, hallelujah, as free as we can be, hallelujah, and we're not going to be bound by carnal understanding. We're going to go free from that. That is the veil that is being rent, hallelujah. Now, if you're not supposed to be in that anointed group, then I believe me, you will not be able to stay around us. We will drive you out from our midst. Not us personally. The Word of God will. Amen. And that's the way God has called this herd. Amen. There's been over, I don't know how many hundreds of people have come through these church doors over the years.
Some never came back.
That's right. And you know what, Sid? We have sown into them like seed. My job isn't to examine and see, well, are they ready for it? Are they not ready for it? Or should I throw it in there? Should I hold it back on them? My job is to take the seed that God has given us and throw it into the earth.
Amen.
God is going to watch over every grain of that seed. Some seed is going to take root immediately. It's landed in good soil, prepared of the Father. Ready to hear this. Travis has been ready to hear this word. We're preaching in this church. This boy didn't know the word that we're talking about. And he's sitting in our midst right now. He's coming back every Sunday, and I see him praising the Lord. Hallelujah. In the midst of us, hallelujah. Look at Russ and look at how where he came from and his religious understanding. He's here. We didn't hold anything back from him. I'm not going to hold anything back from you. Hallelujah. Understand, my God, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. Give us the understanding. Let us be patient with one another. Let us look at each other as brothers and sisters. Hold for one another. Encourage one another. But I'm telling you, the ministry is in such a place that they must not be silent. Hallelujah. The watchmen are upon the walls of Jerusalem. They cannot hold their peace concerning this. If I didn't think it was the right time to minister such things, we would go to another people. You're the people that God has sent here. Hallelujah. And we're going to minister to those things that, believe me, they will challenge us. And some of it may make us mad or glad or angry or joyful or whatever. When I first heard the truth of God, I couldn't stand it. It came against me. It wasn't something that I could embrace right away. It was contrary to my religiosity.
Amen.
We're not religious. We're not church people. We're not your average, ordinary congregation. We have been sent here by God.
Amen.
And we are going to hear God. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.